freaking go. So, is Brian Kelly safe for 2026? The answer to that is yes. But if money were not an object and he were to not make the college football playoff, we would need to have a conversation. Now, I try not to be an end results hot take PHL YouTuber. I try my best. I look at you in the face every single day for balanced, nuanced conversations around LSU football. Because, look, this isn't just my channel. This is our channel. Now, of course, I make my living doing this every single day. But it's also important, to be fair, college football's changed. It is harder than ever to now win in the Southeastern Conference, especially with Texas and Oklahoma being here. All right. But when you take a look at the Brian Kelly era, you would need to have expected that LSU would have made a playoff in the first four seasons. 2 years, obviously, with a 4-team playoff, but now 2 seasons with a 12-team playoff after this season. So, yes, Brian Kelly is safe, even if LSU fell off a cliff and they went 7-5. And even to me, if they went 6-6, could LSU conjure up the money to take care of business and get someone else in here? Yes, because obviously this would be the number one job available next year, considering all the other elite jobs look to be fine, unless, of course, Kalen DeBoer falls off a cliff this next year. But for the most part, I want you to comment below or comment live. Or if you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever, would you be okay with that? I'm looking at you, and we're going to get to all the comments right here in just a second. Would you be fine with it? And we'll ask this question maybe a week or so before the start of the Clemson game. But look, we're getting closer to the start of the season, and I am in a position where I want to have these conversations before the season begins. Now, I will also say that it is very important for LSU fans to be patient with the season opener, because I do think LSU will lose the season opener. It is going to take a lot for me to change my opinion on the season opener going into next year. All right. So there you go. We decided to wobble. What's up, Victoria? Good to see you, Jamie. And of course, Skipper. Good to see each and every one of you. A lot of the PHL diehards here, I really do appreciate that. Now, coming up in a moment, to me, the best radio host in the state of Louisiana, the longest tenured radio host in the state of Louisiana, Mr. Sean Fox will join us. There's plenty of good radio hosts in Louisiana, but I do think Sean is the best. You're going to love him. And he will join the 4-time PHL guest club here in just a second. So, I need to get something off my chest. And I think it is something that a lot of you can take with you to your dinner, to your weekend. This is our last stream until obviously Sunday. I want you to always think for yourself. Because every year, the SEC has a new coach that everybody loves. You know, a few years ago, it was Sam Pittman. Obviously, Lane Kiffin has been that guy. The funny guy. The guy that everyone wants to love. And so far, today being the last of SEC Media Days, people loved what Elijah Drinkwitz had to say. He made an awkward joke about the Epstein files. You would need to go watch it in context. He was making a joke about saying, hey, I'm not going to answer any of the life's biggest questions. He mentioned Lee Harvey Oswald or whatever. It's a joke, whatever. I have bond way harder than he has with that joke. But there was hardly anyone there for him at SEC Media Days, which obviously isn't the case for someone like Brian Kelly or whoever else. But this guy says some absolutely asinine things. And as crazy as those jokes were, nothing was dumber than him saying, hey, you know what we need? We need a 30-team college football playoff. 30 is what he proposed. Now, how would that work? I don't know. But here's the thing I don't like about Eliah Drinkwitz. And what I don't like about programs like Missouri. They schedule like a bunch of bitches. Now, they schedule smart. But they schedule like a bunch of bitches. They have had the softest SEC schedule since Eli Drinkwitz has been at Missouri. And now we have him saying, well, you know what? Let's make a 30-team college football playoff and absolutely eradicate the best thing that we have in college football, which is its regular season. But that's what people like Eli Drinkwitz does. He says it with a smile. He's a younger, good-looking guy, runs, you know, the offense that everyone loves. He has a young OC, Kirby Moore, I think is his last name. And look, they have been one of the better teams in the SEC. Last year, obviously, another great season. 2 years ago, the story of the SEC was the Missouri Tigers beating Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. But the truth is, people like him need to be silenced. Or just not loved by every single person. Because everybody loves Eli Drinkwitz. Now, one thing I will say is I do like the fact that he will hold a grudge. And nobody holds a bigger grudge than Eli Drinkwitz does versus Arkansas. Because he is from Arkansas. And Arkansas overlooked him. He hates Arkansas. There's a whole lot of history right there. And every single time he gets a chance to, he will run up the score on Arkansas. I love that. I really, really, really do. I love that. And I'm not saying he's not a good coach. It's just, number one, we don't bring up enough the schedule inequities that exist in the Southeastern Conference. And I know that I'm on an island about the 9-game conference schedule. Yeah, I know some of you would want a 9-game conference schedule, but most of you say, hey, let's stay at 8. 9 makes it a lot harder. 8-game conference schedule makes it much easier for more SEC teams to get into the college football playoff. An 8-game SEC schedule is harder than a 9-game Big Ten or Big 12 schedule. I get all of that, but to me, once again, I don't care about the Big 12. I don't care about the Big 10 when it comes to the college football playoff because I personally don't care about the college football playoff. I really don't. Now, do I enjoy it? Yeah, I enjoy it because it is college football. But to me, the regular season is what I truly care about. And if you're telling me that I get 9 better games, or not 9, I would actually, in theory, get 8 better games by adding one extra conference game per year, sign me up. And what I think a lot of people forget about the 9-game conference schedule is it will equal out a lot of the schedules that we have in the SEC. Because if you compare Missouri's schedule and then you also compare it to what LSU has to face, they're not even remotely close. They're not. Now, one thing Missouri does have is 2 sets of back-to-back road games, but those are the only road games that they have. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And we just let it happen. We just do. We signed a skipper. We signed a nurse court. The lady's taking over the chat. Good to see you, Jared. What's up, man? Next thing, as far as like SEC Media Days is concerned, there really wasn't anything too big to take away from SEC Media Days. One big note that I feel is important when it comes to the Southeastern Conference and when it comes to what could be the new version of the college football playoff is that maybe, just maybe, we are better off with a 12-team playoff just remaining what it is and not going to a 16-team college football playoff. I believe most people would prefer 12 over 16. But if you are LSU and you go to a 9-game conference schedule, a 16-team college football playoff does make life easier on LSU. All right. Now, the next thing I wanted to get to today is the Big Ten. So I went back and I listened to some Big Ten previews of some of these other teams. You know, as we move closer to the season, we start breaking down some other teams that are out there. And one team that has grown on me is Penn State. Could this actually be the year for Penn State to get over the hump? And I have been burned before with James Franklin, and he's probably going to burn me again because I do have Penn State making it to the college football playoff. I do at this juncture have Penn State winning the Big Ten, and I'm afraid that's going to burn me. In fact, I know it's going to burn me. But I look at some of these other conferences. I am feeling good about Arizona State running it back in the Big 12, which is kind of weird because I did not think I would like them as much as I do. But they have the best quarterback in the Big 12, I believe, with Sam Leavitt. They have the best receiver, Tyson, in the Big 12. In fact, he is the number one rated wide receiver going into next NFL's draft. So maybe just maybe I am talking myself into this. But I really don't know. I really don't know. Let's get to a few Twitter comments. Jared, thank you so much for your super chat. It is very much appreciated. Let's see here. Okay, just got a good email back from a potential partner going into next year. That actually just got sent in. And there you go. One more thing. It's very important that you follow us on Twitter. We're going to do some kind of Twitter giveaway pretty soon. Maybe a Joe Burrow card or something like that. We're trying to get to 5,000 followers on Twitter before the start of the season. Christian says, I have Tech or Colorado winning the Big 12. Jared wants to know with the super chat, has anyone gotten their Clemson tickets yet? I would guess Nurse Court would be the person to ask. Have you gotten your Clemson tickets yet? We get a super chat here from Julie. I appreciate you, Julie. I did enjoy the Broadway conversation. I did not think we would have a Broadway draft, but we did have one. And Julie's son, of course, dances on Broadway or does a lot of productions, dances at Disney, actually. But yeah, very fun conversation with Max Toscano. You're going to love our conversation coming up with Mr. Sean Fox. Let's go to Charles. I think Brian Kelly had to realize he needed a staff that could recruit Louisiana, so he should be given the next 2 years to get to the championship. Yeah, Charles. So this is referencing the three hires that LSU just made. So if you haven't already, we actually had a personnel staffer who worked in the personnel department under Gus Malzahn, and he joined us. His name is Dave Shoemate of SEC Unfiltered. He's in the media now. And he shared with me that the three of them, and we shared this on Sunday, are communication guys. They are more so guys that are the connectors, Bolden, Martin, and Petito. And it is important to understand the difference, right? Some recruiting staff members are more so the connection type. You know, they just know everyone and they get things in motion. And then, of course, you have actual personnel staffers who watch tape and all of it. Now, a lot of that can cross over among staffers, but some specialize in different things, right? You know, when it comes to the recruiting battles, you look at someone like Jeff Martin, USC had been winning some of those out of the state of Louisiana. Obviously, Tackett Curtis a few years ago, and then, of course, a big one last year, Thanos Stewart, who went to USC. And then, of course, Ole Miss has had their fair share of transfer portal successes from LSU. And then Petito is obviously arguably one of the best personnel department members ever, at least of the past decade. Going to Ohio State, they won an Natty with him there, and then him being Nick Saban's right-hand man for 8-plus years. So, look, you look at that, that's obviously a really good thing. But the thing is, Charles, with comments like that, is I am one of those people that try not to get into hot take category. In fact, for a new YouTube project, I'm actually investigating if I should continue hot takes. And I actually went around and asked a bunch of people at the Fanatics Fest a few weeks ago in New York City if, or I asked them to give me your hottest take. I don't want to spoil the video. And, you know, hot take culture can get very toxic. And I, myself, have gotten toxic on here. So everything I tried to say, whether in particular if I'm being critical of an athlete or a coach or a fan or anything like that, I try to make sure I have really strong evidence backing that up. But whether this comes off as a hot take is okay for me, because you do have to live with the results from time to time when it comes to making a bold claim. There's only so many excuses that you can have in this day and age in college football. It is harder to win now. There is a power shift when it comes to who the best schools are, right? You take a look at some of the schools that you would not consider to be traditional powers, and you look at how their trajectories have changed. Like a school like Texas Tech, they have a billionaire funding a lot of what they have going on right now. A school like Oregon, they've always been good, but they are considered a top 10 program in the sport now because they have money. They have money. And it's not just that Dan Lanning is indeed a special, special recruiter, but you know, schools like Alabama, their pockets just aren't as deep as those schools. And LSU, we have to get our NIL in order. So I say all of that because LSU, the talent advantage and you having the state of Louisiana at your advantage, is just not as big of a deal because now, you know, just out in the open, you could buy the best Louisiana players and convince them to go out of state, which is why the Lamar Brown pickup was pretty big. So, you know, there's a bunch of different things you can point to when it comes to how it's gotten tougher for Brian Kelly to win a national championship. But for me, I do not judge him based on whether or not he wins a national championship. Now, most fans will. But there are plenty of bad coaches who have won national championships. More good than bad, but there's plenty of who we would consider to be not great coaches who have won natties. So I don't think that, for me, is a barometer of real success for Brian Kelly. What I would say, though, is when you judge coaches based on process over results, what is the process of how LSU has won games? Well, there are two seasons of the three during the Brian Kelly era that you could point to where there was a lot of results-based wins compared to process-based wins. Now, for most fans, I'll just say one fan who's very generous, Jared. Jared is a guy who says, look, I just want to win. And that's fine. In fact, that is a better way to live than evaluating wins of how you win instead of just if you win. But you go back to 2022, we had a lot of lucky results go our way. The Auburn game was very, very, very fortunate that we won that game. You go to last season, you have multiple games, in particular Ole Miss and South Carolina, that went your way, where your teams necessarily did not play its best, but you found a way to get it done thanks to some clutch stops and Garrett. So if you want to base a coach on process, I think it is bad process if you don't make a playoff in your first 4 years when you were making playoffs at Notre Dame and the coach that came in right after you not only made the playoff, but he made a run in the playoff. So, you know, I get that, but I do think the excuses can only go so far with Brian Kelly. And it's important to keep that in mind. Look, if you look at what Brian Kelly has had to work with, the talent has mostly been fine. You know, I hear it all the time. Well, did you know you have to start with 39 scholarship players? Okay. You also got Jaden Daniels. Do you know how many schools would die to have the opportunity to have Jaden Daniels be their quarterback? Look, Garrett's about to be more than likely the third best quarterback LSU has had in the past 5, 6, 7 years. And he can win the Heisman, and that probably still be the case. Do you know how many teams in the SEC that has not had a quarterback as good as Garrett Nussmeier? I mean, there's plenty off the top of my mind. Garrett's better than anyone that Vanderbilt's had. We'll see what Pavia does this year. And obviously, Jay Cutler was fine. Garrett's better than anyone that Arkansas has had. Brandon Allen was very underrated, but Garrett's better than him. Garrett's better than anyone Kentucky has had. Tim Couch, okay, good. Jerry Lorenzen, good. Andre Woodson, good. Garrett's better than them. And Brian Kelly has had two of those three. Got to make a playoff. Got to make a playoff. That is the hardest position to get right. Got to make a playoff. And isn't that crazy? And we're talking about just the past 5 years. And I'm talking modern era quarterbacks too. Okay. Obviously, you know, George has had a few that you would take over Garrett, but you get the point. It's not every single school. Let's go to Nurse Court. She said she is skipping out on the opener. So I am glad that you're here because you do go to games. You go to a lot of games. You go to a lot of home games. You also go to a lot of away games. Jared goes to 3 away games a year. This is a very common question, and this is probably the last week that you can rationally make this decision, whether or not you're going to go to this game or that game. If I were you at this point, I understand the allure of going to Clemson and going to Death Valley or the fake Death Valley or whatever you want to call it. At this point, I would highly recommend you don't go. I highly recommend you don't for a few reasons. Number one, it's not really that easy of a location. It's not the worst location in the world. You're not going to Starkville. Kidding. It's a bad joke. Actually, a good joke. But you're not going to somewhere that is the absolute easiest thing to get to. Number two, season opener ticket prices are always going to be paid with a premium because the demand is so high. Every team is 0-0. This is also a once in a lifetime trip. LSU will never play at Clemson in your lifetime unless Clemson joins the SEC. It just won't happen. So if you have always wanted to go see Howard's Rock and go to Clemson, one of my really good friends is a big booster at Clemson. Someone that attended my wedding is a big booster at Clemson. I don't live anywhere near it. I used to do radio in South Carolina. Now, I wasn't there. I would do it from here for a CBS affiliate. So, yes, this is actually a venue I would want to go. I'm just not going. I got to save funds. I got some big things coming up. But what I would consider, if you are thinking about making a trip, I would go to LSU versus Florida. I think that's going to be an awesome night. I do think LSU will win that game this season. We know it's going to be a night game. We also know that this could be the last time LSU plays Florida in Tiger Stadium for a very long time. I do think LSU is the Florida is the best natural rival that LSU has on their schedule. And by natural, I mean take everything out and just look at the results of the games, how close they are in their all-time series history, how like similar the programs are in terms of their all-time success. And I'm biased. Charles Alexander is getting his jersey retired. And Charles, of course, has been a guest and has been very generous with his time with us. I think he's been on here four times. And number four will be, you know, honored. So I would say if you are thinking about going to Clemson, understand, and Jared and Nurse Court and those that are PHL legends and make a lot of trips, those road trips really suck if you lose. I mean, they really, really, really do suck. Especially if you get blown out. And I want to also include the disaster that was Camping World Stadium a few years ago. I did not go to the season opener versus Florida State. I just didn't go. That's okay. I can live with that, knowing how that game turned out. It was also, for a lot of different reasons, a disaster for a lot of people. So, if you were making a trip, I would save up and spend the big money, especially if you've never been to Tiger Stadium, and going to that game. All right, that's my official position on it. I'm not going to Clemson, though. I'm not. I thought about it. I had access to tickets. Not going to make it. And Jared said, look, they're expensive. They're very expensive. Let's go to Ellie Mom and her super chat. A lot of pro scouts have Garrett Nussmeier as their number one quarterback. Yeah, including our guest last night. And he's not a pro scout, but Max Toscano knows ball, right? Like, he really knows it. I think I know a decent amount about ball. He knows a shit ton. I do film studies for a living, and that guy knows so much about football. And he has Garrett number one. He's also not as high on Kate Klubnik. I also did a show in Oklahoma earlier today, and the host, his name is Blatant Homerism. Go follow him on Twitter. He is not high on Clemson at all. He thinks they're a 9-3, 8-4 team. And that's with the ACC schedule, not an SEC schedule. I have been interested to see how many people out there are fading Clemson. I would say most are talking up the college football playoff hype compared to otherwise. But, you know, I do think, for me, Clemson is worth the hype. I do.
Let's see here. Max looks like if Knight Rider, Hasselhoff, and Elon Musk had a kid. Jared said Orlando was the worst trip ever. Yeah, I've been to that stadium before for the Louisville game. George says, I would love to go to that game. D-Pain says he's planning for Florida versus LSU as a tie. There you go. Next thing. This will probably be the subject for Sunday night's conversation. I do think, for me, there is one LSU player that I'm taking my strongest stance against in my history of PHL. I don't think he'll end up starting at center, but DJ Chester, you know, I've said it all offseason. It really was that tough of a year for him. But if he's playing guard, that interests me. That interests me very much so. And I think that's where he will play. And the more I've looked into this, the more I think the LSU offensive line will not be the offensive line you saw in spring, which is why I've said, why do we even have spring football? If we're playing these games of, we don't really want to give away how we're starting. I'm just like, that's a lot of reps, you know, for the sleight of hand trick, you know. But I will say that I have heard mostly good stuff from DJ Chester as far as improvement and all of that. And he is representing LSU for an SEC summit coming up pretty soon. So I'm really excited for him. And honestly, like when I saw his high school when I saw his high school tape, it was good. Kid is explosive. Here's Jared. He says Chester is a people mover without having to worry about snapping the ball. That's a good way to put it. Now, I need some warm reception here for the four-time PHL guest, Fox 4 Sports Talk. What's up, Sean Fox?
Let's go. What's up? One more till I get a jacket.
Five, yeah, timers. To the SNL 5 Club.
Yes, let's go.
Who all is in the 5-time?
So Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Scarlett Johansson, I know, is in it.
Scarlett Johansson. Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
Al Baldwin.
John Mulaney.
You would think I watch Saturday Night Live all the time, but I do. I love the 5-timers. And yeah. Timberlake?
Wait, Justin Timberlake's in the 5-time?
I think he's a 5-timer, yeah. He's good.
Louisiana Tech joins the Sun Belt.
We're really desperate for guests when we're going here, right?
Well, look, here's the thing. You were the first. So I had Mr. Sun Belt on last week, and now I have you.
All right, who's Mr. Schulte?
Yeah,
I love Schulte. He was so wrong on this.
Okay, so
he's my guy. I messed with him. We go back and forth. He's got real, like, when it comes to the Sun Belt, he really is Mr. Sun Belt. But I told Schulte this. The only thing I felt strongly about was Louisiana Tech was in the mix the entire time, and it seemed like they thought they weren't when they really were the entire time. So that was the only issue I had with Schulte. But that's my guy. He's awesome.
Joseph, thank you for the super chat. I will say, though, this is where it gets strange.
Yes.
You actually broadcast for ULM, for ESPN.
Yes. It's real interesting.
Yeah.
I went to Tech. My radio station, my show is on the flagship of Tech. Okay. But I live in Monroe, 5 minutes from campus. I've lived here for 20 years, and I do ULM stuff for ESPN Plus, football and basketball.
Right.
So I really am like, and I've always, my dad went to ULM/NLU. So I wasn't here for the glory days of the rivalry. It really didn't exist for me. They've never played in football since I've lived in North Louisiana. So I don't really get into the back and forth. Like I'm one of the few that genuinely does want, and my paycheck kind of determines that too, wants them both to do well.
Yes. So
yeah.
The thing is, you reported this before anyone else.
I did. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was like, if anyone knows, it would be you.
So I got word from a couple different people in February. Call out of the blue from somebody at Sunbelt Conference basketball tournament. And they're like, Foxy, I got something for you. I'm like, what? They're like, dude, all the talk has been this week, if Texas State leaves, Tech's got a really good chance to go to the Sunbelt.
Ooh.
And I confirmed with somebody else. And I was like, okay, there's something to this. But I always thought, Carter, I've always thought, especially since COVID, and I said on my show here, is like eventually Tech and ULM within the next 10 years will be in the same conference. Because look, when we're talking about, I know you spend 99.9% of your time talking LSU.
Yeah.
LSU and Tech and ULM are apples and oranges. We're playing at completely different levels. And at this level, like LSU, no matter what happens, they're going to be fine. Tech and ULM, not so much. And I think at the G5 level, and everybody, and I think one of the crux of the matter was, and there were some people, especially the eastern portion of the Sun Belt Conference, it seemed to be like a civil war between the East and the West has started because of this. There's been a lot of people who are like, well, if it's Tech, that's a third school in Louisiana, what about the TV market? Well, here's the thing. There's not going to be much TV money for G5 conferences anymore. The SEC's re-upping. The Big Ten's going to do it. We're going to redo – what makes sense is regional conferences and the strength in numbers – and you add Tech to the West, which is where they had an opening, and all of a sudden, everybody's in that side of the league is a bus league now, or a bus side of the conference, which, again, that's important. Every single move that's been made in college athletics forever and ever has been about finances. This is the same thing. It makes sense. Tech will save $1 to $1.5 million by moving from Conference USA to the Sun Belt, just in travel alone.
Yeah. And I know this because I do play-by-play for for JUCOs, and those kids get in a church van and travel.
Yes.
And you got to really love ball. And now with the way that the TV money is going, it's now one of those things where a bus league saves you a lot of money. Now, of course, you would rather be in a plane, but If you could just throw everybody on a Greyhound,
it'd be great. Yeah. And I still think football will fly to some place, but most of the other sports, and you know this, they're probably busing. And I think Tech will probably, and ULM will bus to definitely every Western school and most of the East, like Georgia State, Georgia Southern. I mean, they have to fly to Huntington or to James Madison, And this is another thing that's lost. If you're an Eastern school for basketball and baseball, particularly basketball, you know how it works, Thursday, Saturday, you could fly into Monroe, stay in your hotel in Monroe, and never have to leave and just drive to Ruston and drive back to Monroe. You could stay in the hotel the whole time, which is very convenient.
I don't know why I think it's so – I don't know why I'm laughing so much at this because, like – why do I think it's so funny that
you're thinking about the time the players are going to do in the downtime at the lovely Pecan Land Mall, probably what you're
Yeah, it's just hit like
Foot Locker and yeah.
Like I just think about how wild and how different it is to the LSU players take private, you know, you're taking a private jet, you're there, you're back home same
different
day.
Different sport.
It's insane. Like that thing alone is just so crazy.
Let me ask you this: would you say at least every member of LSU's football roster has some kind of NIL money, like some kind, like who's on scholarship?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
There's your difference right there. I don't know how many Tech or ULM, even football players, got NIL money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the starter and the backup. QB.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they get something, but what basically, and I'm taking it off on a tangent, Carter, but basically what's happening is these schools are basically kind of becoming JUCOs. And that's
yeah. like that was what I was that's probably why I was laughing so much because I was like, man, those guys are actually moving closer to what I see.
Yeah. Right. But you're probably gonna see better players at the JUCO level for at least a year because now all these colleges are ignoring high school players, so the high school players have to go somewhere. So I think you're going to see an uptick in JUCO players as far as good as they are for at least a year. But also, as far as, like, I'll give you an example. Like, Bryant Vincent at ULM, like, you either accept it or you don't. You know, don't be surprised if Ahmad Hardy at Missouri is the best running back in the SEC this year.
Oh, the kid that just transferred to ULM. Yeah.
Dude, he's the real deal. And I've heard he's got somewhere between $500,000 to $800,000. I cannot confirm that to go to Missouri. I just know he got a chunk of change. And at some point, Coach Vincent's like, man, you got to go. And what they've done is, and I think coaches at this level who are very realistic about the state of college athletics is, you embrace it. Look, they got Deshaun Ford out of Opelousas, who was a four-star running back.
I love him.
ULM would never get a guy like that, but they said, look, go do what Ahmad did. Ball out, start as a freshman, go get paid. It sucks because you really can't get you like, oh my God, I can't believe I got a Ryan Moats or a Kenneth Dixon at Tech and I'm going to get him for 2 or 3 years. You're not. But that's, I think, the approach you have to take at this level right now is, look, let you be a one and done, but it might get you a player you might not ever get before.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because, like, Kenneth Dixon, I've actually never publicly shared this, but so he's a family friend.
He's a kid. He's been in the NFL.
And for those that don't know, he set so many records at Louisiana Tech and played at
the Ravens. He set the NCAA freshman touchdown record.
Yeah, and play with Lamar Jackson. He's still friends with Lamar Jackson to this day with the Ravens. It is crazy how much money he would have made in the portal era. He would have had to have taken it.
It's kind of like Ahmad Hardy. Basically, Ahmad Hardy did, Kenneth Dixon probably 99.9% would have done.
Especially,
and you can't blame him.
Yeah. That not being around cost him a good $750. But in return, you're a legend at Louisiana Tech, and that's like it should be. Obviously, Louisiana Tech's statue situation is really cool.
They take a backseat to nobody as far as star players that have come through there. I mean, who else has got Terry Bradshaw and Karl Malone? I mean, very few schools, especially at this level, can compete with that.
Right. But it gets into the problem of it's hard to really sink your teeth into like a player. It's hard to become.
Yeah.
A legend in the eyes of many. And at the smaller schools, it matters so much more. It just does. So
I've had a lot of people tell me it's so hard for them to stay invested in it because, hey, as soon as they get to know this guy, he's gone.
He's gone.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because mid-tier Power Fours are going to struggle with that. Like, really good example. I know they had a coaching change, so that changes things. But Purdue had some really damn good football players last year. It's just their coach sucked. And those kids went into the portal, and the defensive end for Clemson. One of them starting for Clemson.
Clemson. Yeah.
Kid can play. So, you know, a lot of those mid-tier P4s are starting to get poached. So I wanted to bring you on because week by week I'm going to have guests on from different teams, and LSU does play Louisiana Tech in week two, and whether or not they beat Clemson, Louisiana Tech will be the ultimate look-ahead game of all time.
I think Clemson's looking ahead, or LSU's looking past Clemson to Tech, probably. No. Look, Carter, there is no trap game whatsoever.
So Louisiana Tech's bad.
I can't say that.
Phil
Steele has a lot of respect. He says they're going to be one of the most improved teams in college football.
Oh.
This year, which means I think they can get to a bowl game. I do. I think they get to 6 wins, possibly. I mean, look, again, the roster got they lost their entire defense almost. The entire defense, like, and their defense was really good last year. They were not 5-7 because the defense wasn't good. But their best players all transferred out, and their entire coaching staff. And this is the kick in the I'm just gonna say the kick in the nuts. It's one thing if you lost your defensive coordinator to a Power Five conference, but they lost their defensive coordinator, and he took the entire staff to Coastal Carolina. So that sucked. So you've got very few holdover from there. Quarterback Evan Bullock, he got thrown into the fire last year. They did bring in a familiar name, Tony Franklin, who's coaching the SEC. He was very successful at Louisiana Tech. They did bring him back to be the OC. Maybe he can bring something. Look, I think they'll be okay in Conference USA. I do think they'll compete for 6 wins, but if LSU doesn't win by at least 35 points, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. Louisiana Tech was so bad. I mean, I will say
– they're unwatchable last year.
They were the worst team I've ever seen make a bowl.
Well, they shouldn't have. They were 5-7. If it wasn't for Marshall doing that, like they were, and here's the problem that, and I look, Sonny Cumbie's a really nice guy. I root for him, and I thought it was going to be a good hire because Sonny Cumbie came from the Mike Leach coaching tree.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And played at Texas Tech, and he actually outdueled Aaron Rodgers in the bowl game. It was the bowl game in San Diego years ago when he was quarterback in Texas Tech, Holiday Bowl. But we kept thinking, like, where's this high-octane Texas Tech-like offense? It hasn't happened. And if you remember, if Tech is one thing, like word association, air raid, Tim Rattay, Gary Croton, Troy Edwards, even under Skip Holtz with Jeff Driscoll, Trent Taylor, Kenneth Dixon, like, this is a program that's known for scoring a lot of points. They would rather lose 56-53 than win 13-12 if they won what we've seen the last year. One thing to be bad, another one to be boring. Don't be bad and boring, and that's been the problem. But maybe it'll change this season.
It's also kind of strange because you love New Orleans. You love Baton Rouge. Oh, you actually make the trips pretty often to
there's play. Nothing like a Saturday night Tiger Stadium, and there's nothing will ever beat when the Saints won the Super Bowl. It's my highlight forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say out of everyone that does sports media in Louisiana, in particular outside of New Orleans, you love the Saints more than anybody.
I have a Super Bowl baby named Peyton.
Yes, okay.
That's all you need to know about my daughter and how much I love the Saints.
So I wanted to ask you this trap question because I didn't want to keep you on too long like we normally do. But
next time.
True or false,
okay,
the best restaurant in the state of Louisiana is north of Alexandria.
Which one do you have?
Well, I know. I asked you.
I'll say false. But there is better food in North Louisiana than people think. I mean, I'm biased towards New Orleans. And I think Lafayette's got fantastic food. Baton Rouge has got great. But we actually have South Louisiana transplants up here who know how to cook. I know. My grandfather used to call Alexandria the Boudin line, and I know that they think past Alexandria it's two different states. It's not as big of a divide as people think. Now, Shreveport wants to be Texas so bad it hurts. There are parts of North Louisiana that feel like Arkansas, but my grandmother was actually, I think I told you the story. My grandmother was actually an LSU. I told you my grandmother's story about Mike the Tiger. Didn't I went all along before?
No, we'll
say. Let me just say this.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got to tell you now that I have it. So one of the things I was going with, at one time, Monroe, Washoe Parish was the biggest LSU alumni base outside of Baton Rouge. It's not anymore, but at one time it was. So two quick stories I'll get out of here. My grandmother and my grandfather, remember when they used to have dorms in Tiger Stadium?
Yeah.
So my grandfather used to live in the dorms in Tiger Stadium, and he got, for whatever godforsaken reason, he got my grandmother a baby alligator, a real live baby alligator. So It was the winter time, and he put it on the furnace. And let's just say the alligator didn't make it, and my grandfather buried an alligator in the turf at Tiger Stadium.
What? No. Okay.
This is even better. So my grandma's cheerleader at LSU, and I'm a big Tiger fan. And you remember the real life Mike used to go around the stadium. Well, one day Mike decided to lift his leg and urinate on my grandmother.
What?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
But needless to say, we got LSU running through us or on us.
So that's why the Florida game is more important for you than
I mean, we literally buried gators in the turf there.
Fox Sports Sports Talk is where you can find them. I'll say this about the restaurant thing. And by the way, if you want to hear the most insane Reuben Randle story, go back to one of our old Fox 4 Sports Talk interviews. You almost costing us Reuben Randle. Oh my God!
I was gonna die. Yeah.
One of my hottest takes is Reuben isn't too far off from like who I would consider to be like the big five, which is, you know.
Well, think about what he did with average quarterback play.
Right. Like,
I mean, what would have Reuben done with the offenses that LSU's had over the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, it would have been at least, like, I would say he's I would put him definitely ahead of Terrace Marshall, and I would put him like in that Dwayne Bowe kind of category behind like the big guns. Sure. But I will say the best steakhouse or my favorite.
The Rev.
Okay, so you get down.
Yeah, Bovine.
Yeah,
Bovine.
Yeah. Yeah. I get down with the Bovines and Rustin. Now, I always say this, and they're my friends, so I'm biased. But my funds are. I don't have Bovines funds right now.
I told you about my situation. Neither do I.
I ain't got the.
We're trying to get hamburger helper funds right now. I need ESPN Plus to kick off soon,
bro. Bovines from top to bottom,
it's really good.
We'll take care of you. But also, I get down with some of the supporters of 97.7.
Thank you, because that helps keep the lights on. Although,
Whereas
a storm, or did I pay the bill?
What is Dax? Does Dax still get down with 97.7?
They do not, but they did for a very, very long time. Okay. They don't have as many locations. No, but they did for a very, very long time. So I still go there.
I want you to shout out one of the restaurants that supports you now.
Oh, man. There's a lot. We have a lot of – so I say what Law Cabin in Ruston is very, very good.
Oh, I got to go. I go to Ruston all the time.
Yeah. And the Fieldhouse in Monroe is a really cool sports bar. Of course, we have walk-ons, but everybody knows about walk-ons.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Great. But I got a ton of restaurants. I mean, thank God. I need something besides restaurants to advertise.
Yeah.
If you want to advertise, hit me up. Yeah.
Yeah. No, what I'm trying to think of all the ones that have partnered with you guys before. There's been a lot.
We've got more restaurants.
I've never been to Pontus. I still have not been.
Oh, Ponchatoula's is real good. Okay, I'll tell you, like, you would be a good judge. It's Cajun food. I'm from Mandeville, so you can say that's Cajun or not, but I grew up, like, family in Lafayette. It's really good. Like, am I going to say it's as good as this food down there? No, but as far as Cajun food, it's as good as you're going to get up here.
And here's the problem when I go to Ruston. Like, I make sure I go to Bovine's, like, twice a year. But I got to save up. You know, I got to eat the hamburger helper to go all out of Bovine's.
Yeah.
What I will say, though, is when I do go to Ruston, I'm a sucker for Rotolo's, like, every single
great
time.
Great pizza. Yeah.
Dude, I'm a sucker for it.
All right. Well, let me ask you, have you had Johnny's pizza before, right?
Yeah, I love Johnny's.
Johnny's is an institution in North Louisiana. Like,
I need to go back.
We fight people over making fun of Johnny's.
Dude, you can't make fun of it. Maybe I'm wrong on this. You would know this. Did Will Campbell have a pizza at Johnny's? Didn't he have like a? I think so.
He probably did. I mean, there's what Johnny's right by where he lives. So
right. You see, I'm trying to. Yeah. I think he had. And I was like, wait, I gotta go try the. Because you know,
try the will.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great. They're great people. And another, like, here's another quick side note. I don't know Will that well, but my grandmother and Will's great mother were best friends for like 55 years.
That's crazy. That's yeah, crazy.
They're a great family. Great family.
Last thing, yes yep. or no? Saints win 7 games this year?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Fox Sports. I'll see thanks, you, buddy. Pal.
Appreciate
there
it.
There you go. Yeah, Jared. I mean, you already know I'm with every guest. I'm going to have some crazy convo at the end of it. All right. Teresa Weatherspoon and Mulkey. Natty's at Louisiana Tech. Yeah, Kim Mulkey's got her statue. And rightfully so in Louisiana Tech lore. The Tiger Pit. I did not know a gator was buried under Tiger Stadium. You know, one guy that I really enjoyed listening to at SEC Media Days was DJ Lagway. And it was like your typical like QB speak stuff. But I loved him saying put the ball down. I like it. I'm I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm rooting for this kid outside of when he plays us. That's it. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take we'll take a few more next 5 to 10 minutes. Let's see here. New game at the Pecanland Mall. If your mall is named after a nut, you're not in the right part of town. That's not the mall you want to be to. It's just not the mall. What I wanted to ask him, though, because it is weird, the relationship between North Louisiana and South Louisiana. Very, very, very strange. And I say that because, you know, I spent a good bit of my life in South Arkansas. So I spend a lot of my time in South Louisiana, but I also go to North Louisiana. I do go to Ruston multiple times a month. And I love Ruston. I do. I love going to a good old-fashioned college town. And I do frequent Bertolo's in Ruston. They have a lot of my money. They do, as does Bovine's. And I've always wanted to try all the other restaurants in Ruston and all of that. But I say that because I freaking love North Louisiana. I love Shreveport and what 50 Cent's doing there. I love Monroe. Nah, I like Monroe. I'm kidding. I do love Monroe. But it's always weird to me that there's so many South Louisianians who defecate, relieve themselves, number two, all over North Louisiana. I don't get it. I do not get it. Let's go to Chance. How many snaps a game does each LSU defensive end get this year? That's a very good question. So I want to more so look at this as a percentage, if that's okay, Chance. Because last year, LSU did not rotate that much at defensive end. Gabriel Relaford. Savion Jones and Braden Swinson played 70% of the snaps defensively, whereas Jack Pyburn played 30% of the snaps at Florida. So I would guess Pyburn plays the most snaps this year, and Relaford will play roughly second or third-ish alongside Peyton, the amount of snaps. And then Jamari Butler plays quite a bit as well. I am interested, though, in a few of these backups that have just kind of hung around. It feels like Damian Shanklin has been with the program forever because he was committed so long, but this is year one for him. Dylan Carpenter has hung around, got some snaps in that Baylor game. CJ Jackson gets a lower digit number. Does that mean he's going to play more? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Jamie says, I graduated from Louisiana Tech, was there at the same time as Kim and Carl. That's pretty awesome. Monroe, Louisiana is your hometown. Let's go have lunch sometime. Graylin, thank you for the super chat. We'll keep it moving. And you get to pick the next topic, Graylin. Go right on ahead. Let's go to Jared. Carter, just noticed you got new pictures on the wall. So what's funny is these aren't actually new pictures. These are actually pictures that have been up. This was my longest time backdrop. And I've had this photo for months. And I've had Peyton Manning and Monster Milam. I've shown both of these photos. But now they're all on display because my lovely wife, Hey, surprised me with this display after I went to Baton Rouge. And it's pretty cool. As you guys know, I'm a big Manning guy, so I'll be cheering for Arch. But obviously outside when we play them in the SEC championship. But there you go. I'll also be honest, if we did play in the SEC championship, there is a piece of me that would want us to lose that game. Because if we were to lose that game, more than likely that would result in a first-round playoff game at home. And if you were to ask me, hey, Carter, would you rather a first-round playoff game at home or a first round bye, I think every single one of us would say, hey, give us a first round game at home, especially considering the team that won it all had a first round game at home. A team that went to the Final Four, first round game at home. Another team that made it to the national championship, first round game at home. Give me the damn first-round game at home. That is so damn sexy to me. You're telling me I get to play a playoff game at home? There's nothing better than that. Let's go to Chance. Did you see that the stud defensive end from Jesuit is transferring to IMG? It's usually not good news for LSU. So, yeah, this did happen. I'll address it. Zion Forstall is a five-star in the next recruiting class. And he, or actually, I think he's a 2027. I've watched him. Kid really jumps out. And yeah, so he's transferring to IMG Academy. And what that means is he's playing in New Orleans and he's going to Florida to the school where a lot of four and five stars go. Now, historically, how has LSU done recruiting IMG Academy? They've been pretty fine. It's not been the machine that it's been for like other schools. I don't know exactly how I feel about the idea of IMG Academy. I don't know if I would want to do that for my kid. You know, I think just off the top of my head, I think the last big time IMG kid we had was Eli Ricks. You know, there's a school of thought that, hey, you're going to IMG and you're just going to go to whichever school is going to be the highest bidder for you the next year. I don't know. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's go to Graylin Super Chat. Oh, Graylin. Okay. I love these super chats. Graylin isn't even giving a super chat. He's not even asking me a question. He's just making a damn take. He said, we will have double-digit draft picks next year. And it's a bold pronouncement at the end of last year that will age very well. Double-digit draft picks next year. Interesting. So I've not done this yet. I'll go ahead and just do it off the top of my head. Guys that we know a gazillion percent will get drafted next year. Garrett Nussmeier is obviously number one. Mansoor Delane is obviously someone that will gazillion percent get drafted. Whit Weeks, if he announced, would a gazillion percent get drafted. Patrick Payton would a gazillion percent get drafted. It would have to take a disaster year from him. Because two back-to-back mediocre years would tank him. I would like to think Jack Pyburn would get drafted next year. AJ Halsey is someone you would think would get drafted. Nobody at running back. Wide receiver is kind of weird. Barrer Sharp, would he get drafted? I don't know. Double digit, that's tough to get there. It is hard to get double digit draft picks. But I like the take, Graylin. I do. And obviously, teams that have double-digit draft picks oftentimes are making deep runs in the college football playoff. Chance says Harold Perkins, yeah. Jamari Butler, year six in, pass rush specialist. I could see it, though. I could see it. We've had other year six sixes get drafted, including one that tore his ACL, Andre Anthony. Got drafted at 25 years old by the Buccaneers in the seventh round. Chance says Josh Thompson. Yeah, he would. I wouldn't say a gazillion percent get drafted, but he's going to get drafted for sure. Joseph says Aaron Anderson. Yes. But would I say Aaron Anderson would a gazillion percent get drafted next year? I'd put him about 85 to 90% certainty. Wide receiver class isn't as strong as it has been in recent years. It's the next one that's going to be really strong. Chris Hilton, I'm pretty sure, will get drafted. Berrien Brown, for sure, you would like to think gets drafted. So, yeah, I mean, the more I talk myself into it, obviously, if LSU is good this year, you're going to have at least six or seven, at least. But it's very hard to get drafted. It's very, very, very hard. One position where you're good and you have a higher likelihood being good and you getting drafted now is offensive line. So if you had four offensive linemen get drafted from the year before, it's hard to have that many the very next year. Heck, I mean, LSU's had years where they haven't had four players selected, period. And they had four offensive linemen. Yeah, Yeah, you see, definitely is just a strong word. And part of it is, well, Graylin, that I do think does help LSU with the amount of draft picks they might have next year is how many guys that got selected based purely off their athleticism. I cannot tell you if this LSU wide receiver room is going to be elite. What I can tell you, though, is that this probably is the fastest LSU wide receiver room ever. I would say it is. But speed does not equal elite. But this is the fastest. And you saw quite a few players, both that running back and a wide receiver, get selected based off of their speed alone. Also, to Graylin's point, there are a bunch of year one guys going into year two that have really high likelihoods of being very high round picks. Obviously, most notably there would be Caden Durham. So, you know, just because you're not draft eligible does not mean you're a draft pick. I mean, we saw this last year. Arkansas's fourth leading receiver got drafted in the third round by a super sharp organization in the Lions. And their receiver, who got 1,000 yards, also ran pretty well, didn't get drafted at all. So, you know, the NFL did have a weird draft year in where a lot of teams in those middle rounds drafted based off athleticism. You know, Emory Jones did not have his best season last year, but he is a freak of nature. He is still one of the five highest graded players in my own grading system ever, period. He's insane. He is absolutely insane. So which second-year guy am I most excited to see? Durham, by far. In fact, I can even make a case Durham is the most exciting player, period, on this team. Kid is going to be so good. But yeah, that'll do it for me. A very happy birthday to a friend of the channel, Caroline Fenton. She is a Yahoo personality from LSU. Friend of mine. Also, happy birthday to Blake Ruffino. We actually shouted him out yesterday. His birthday was yesterday. And if you're celebrating a birthday, very happy birthday to you. Now, I have an event this weekend in Oxford, Mississippi, of all places. I will be there on Saturday. So I'm really pumped up about that. I did not think I was going to be there, but no. Life. I'm really excited. I actually like Oxford, the town. I need to go tailgate at the Grove again to get like the full Grove experience. Because when I went, I was not really all that impressed. I will say, All right. One thing I did find interesting about today. Free Music Entertainment, welcome to the channel. He says Ness is going to go off this year. Natty, let's go. One thing I do want to say. That CEO who got caught cheating at the Coldplay concert. That is still the most insane viral story. So if you want something to go down a rabbit hole, if you haven't seen this, what rock are you living under? Dude, that is like the most insane thing. Like every single human being on the planet is talking about this that has an internet connection. I have so many thoughts on it. I won't go into a tangent though. But special thanks to all our top super chatters of the evening. Graylin coming in hot, Joseph, and then of course via Venmo, the legends that are Julie and J Red. We'll see you Sunday night. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing Actually, I don't know what we're doing. I really don't. I think we're doing Mahi Mahi. Let's go. Let's go.